Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today. Do you have a question, something you'd like to discuss? Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada. That's toll-free, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and Richard, what's on your mind today?
Well, one of our favorite verses is in Colossians 1:14. We talk about Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And just prior to that are a couple of, I think, even more powerful passages, especially in the context of assurance. How do we know? Mm-hmm. Why can we have assurance? I'm going to start in the middle of a sentence, so it's going to sound a little awkward. This is back in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Now listen, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He, the Father, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we see three things right in this short little passage. One, that we're strengthened with all power according to his glorious might.
Right.
That he is the one who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, and he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his beloved Son.
Mm-hmm.
What makes us think that we can undo that? I mean, if we have accepted Jesus, part of what we receive in him is this stuff. We're given all of this power for endurance and patience, so we bear up under whatever and under whomever.
Right.
And we are qualified to share in the inheritance, and he's the one who qualified us. Who's going to disqualify us? I couldn't qualify myself. I can't disqualify myself.
Right.
If he has delivered me from the domain of darkness, who is going to come and take me away from Jesus, the beloved Son, and put me back into the domain of darkness? This simply cannot be done. And this is the kind of thing that way too many Christians fail to see, mm-hmm. because we never read it. And when we read it, we don't ask the Spirit to say, please, Lord, tell me what this means so that it's real to me. And I'll guarantee you, when these verses and verses like them that are all over the Bible, when they come on, when the light comes on in your brain and the Spirit says, you know, Richard, you know, Bob, this is for you.
Yeah.
You are mine. Your life will change. And until you come to that conclusion, until you are convicted of this truth,
mm-hmm.
you're always going to be asking, oh, Lord, Have I gone too far?
Yeah, right.
Have I done enough?
Sad situation.
Can I ever do enough? What about this? What about that? Listen, people, this is serious, and it's joyous. How do you be serious and joyous? Well, you're serious because it's God himself who is doing this work, and you should be joyous because he's doing the work for you, in you, through you, and it's yours. All of it is yours.
Absolutely. That's great, Richard. Thank you for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. It's, we have 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now if you're hearing the live broadcast. It's about 3 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time. If that's what you show on your clock, well, it is the live broadcast. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. And Richard, I want to bank really, really hard off of what you were saying. You know, John 10:10 quotes Jesus saying, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Understanding the state of your salvation is vital to living the full and abundant life that Jesus has offered to all who come to him by faith. Without this understanding, the thief, as we know is Satan, will steal your identity as a child of God. He will kill the assurance of your salvation and destroy the joy of your life in Christ. We don't want you to be in that or fall into it. That's a trap. And if you have received the life of Jesus Christ, we want you to know that you are safe and secure in Jesus. To help you understand your identity, we're offering a wonderful new CD sort resource. It's called Eternal Security, and we'll send you a copy as our way of saying thanks as you make your gift this month. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, as always, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada to make your donation. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel, and we had this call from Peggy that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, Bob. This is Peggy. I'm just concerned about somebody that's in my family. They got saved, I guess, accepted the Lord as a young person. But I know that in their life, they've had so many struggles and trials in their life before they're in the world so much. And I've talked to this person, and I've asked them. I said, my main concern is to know that you're going to heaven. You see, and I can't help but wonder sometimes, do they ever truly get saved? But, you know, that's not for me to judge. I don't know their hearts. Could you give me some type of insight on this? Thank you.
Well, that's a tough question, and it's an important question. And I understand why people would be concerned. I mean, we look at our family members or close friends. We love them. We want them to have the same peace and joy and salvation we have. And you know they went to church, and then you see some of the things they do.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're told is not to judge. We can ask questions, certainly. When we see somebody living inconsistently with health or with whatever holiness we know that God is leading us to because the Holy Spirit teaches us to say no to ungodliness, it's a legitimate question to ask. What was your understanding of salvation mm-hmm. when you got saved? And don't answer it for them. Wait for them to answer and find out what it was. And a lot of people, I was one of them, I thought salvation, okay, Richard, you got your sins forgiven. Now you're on your own. You know, straighten up and fly right. And that's not salvation. No. That's part of salvation, certainly. We couldn't have been saved without the forgiveness of sins. But salvation is receiving the very life of Jesus Christ as our own. So have the conversation. You don't have to have any conversation about how you're behaving. I mean, normally, family members start with, how can you call yourself a Christian if you're doing, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Just leave the behavior alone because you can't change it. And your family member can't change it. Your friend can't change the behavior. Jesus can. And so take them to Jesus. Have the conversation. If they fully understand what salvation is, both forgiveness of sins and the receiving of eternal life, then you can have the next question. So why would you continue to live like you're living if this is true for you?
Yeah.
You know, do you think the Holy Spirit isn't strong enough to change your mind, to renew your mind, help you choose more wisely, help you behave more wisely? And maybe they don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit. Because most of us, when we get saved, or when we join churches, we get the gospel as a piece over here and a piece over here and another piece over here, and very rarely does it all come together, which is one of the reasons we teach what we teach. Mm-hmm. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why does the Bible say, fix your eyes on Jesus in Hebrews 12? It's because he's the one who pulls all these disparate pieces together in a way that makes sense. And when we do that, then we can begin to see, oh, I've been declared righteous, and that means I am in a right standing with God, not just behavior, but mm-hmm. a right standing. I'm in right relationship. And if I've been declared to be sanctified, that means I've been set apart for something different than what I was before. If it's Christ who lives in me and who works through me to will and to do his good pleasure, well, maybe I should start listening to the Spirit, because the Spirit is trying to teach me what that is. All these pieces come together, and you as the family member who are concerned may rejoice with them that the pieces are finally starting to come together, but don't fall into the trap of saying, well, it's been 10 days. Why aren't you behaving better?
Right.
It takes time. Some people, instantaneous. Some people, years. So be patient. It's one of those things where we bear up under circumstances. We see the circumstances in someone else's life. Allow God to work in their life. Trust him that he has them in his hands. He's not going to let them go. If they were truly saved, they were truly saved. regardless of the mess they find themselves in right now. So let God do his work. Be patient. Don't be afraid to have the conversation about who is Jesus and what has he done.
Mm-hmm.
But don't go into the behavioral side of things, because as soon as you do, if they're on the ball at all, they'll ask you why you behave in certain ways.
Sure.
And now you have no conversation, because we all fall. We all fail. We all have to have grace every moment of every day.
Mm-hmm.
Have the conversation. Fear not. Let God do what only he can do.
Peggy, thanks for reaching out. We hope that's a help to you. And don't neglect to show the love of the Lord Jesus in your interactions. About 10 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, if you're hearing it at that this broadcast at that time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we have open lines for you right now. If you'd like to join the conversation, pose a question of your own, give us a call, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial, both in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Tammy in Florida is having a situation in her marriage, and she wrote to us to say, "My husband lies to me about random things. When I let him know that I knew he was lying, he uses his salvation as an excuse. It's like he's saying because he's saved, he can lie because God will just forgive him. I know Christians aren't perfect and that we sin daily, but using your salvation as a free pass to lie is wrong. It is damaging to our marriage badly, badly damaging to our marriage. What can I do?"
One of the things that immediately comes to mind is slap him upside the head. Nobody can have a relationship with another person if one or both of those people is lying, because relationships of all kinds, and especially the marriage relationship, are based on trust.
Yes.
And if you can't trust a person, you can't be in relationship with them. Clearly, this woman's husband doesn't understand what salvation is. Why are we saved? What's the purpose of being saved? Well, I'll guarantee you, the purpose of being saved is not to continue living in the world the way we did before we were saved. If you think that, you don't understand salvation. And we go right back to the last question. What is your husband's definition of being saved?
Mm-hmm.
If he thinks it's just being forgiven and, oh boy, Jesus forgave everything, he's missing the boat. He might not be saved. I'm not saying he isn't, but he might not be. Find out. Have the conversation. Have someone else come and have a conversation. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you take to a Christian-based, Jesus-focused counselor,
mm-hmm,
and say to that counselor, "My husband lies to me," and wait for the husband to say, "Well, I can lie because I'm forgiven." The counselor will call him,
yes,
right there on the spot and say, "No, that's not true." Then their husband will probably want to say, "Well, then I don't want to counsel." Well, at least you've got a starting point. Now you see the problem. He should see the problem because somebody else thinks it's a problem too. Again, loving, patience, let God do what he's going to do. In your case, for you, what is he lying about? I'm not saying the lying is good or ever acceptable, but there are some things worth going to the mat over,
mm-hmm,
and there are some things that you go, "Oh, come on."
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be better than this. Figure that out. Don't allow the little lies to become big lies, because there's something going on behind the scenes here that you and he need to get at, because, you know, just because he said, "Well, I wasn't watching the football game," and you know he was, what else is going on?
Yeah.
Why would he be afraid to tell you the truth that he was watching the football game or whatever, that he had a beer? Oh, no. Did he have a beer? It's again, don't fall for the behavior. Go to the root cause. The root cause is belief of some kind. And get at that thing. Let him know, I love you, hon, but you keep lying like this, I can't trust you. And if I can't trust you, we don't have a relationship.
Right.
I don't want that to be the truth. I want the truth to be that we trust each other, we love each other, we're growing closer together. Be truthful with him and be kind and be loving, and boy, ask the Spirit to give you the right words at the right time to be able to cut through this mask that he's wearing. He's built a wall, a mask. He doesn't want you to see the real him somehow. Give him the opportunity to be himself, mm-hmm. the real him, and then deal with it together.
Yeah.
But it's a tough issue,
it is.
And it's going to take some time to work through it, especially if this has been a long habit.
Absolutely. Well, Tammy, we're glad that you reached out, and we hope that this has been a help to you. If you would like to pose a further question on this or any other topic for that matter, don't hesitate to do so. Friends, Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, has cleared the fog for many people, pointing them to truth in regard to the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. If you're struggling in your Christian life, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace can point you to the answer. Visit basicgospel.net and click the link at the top of the homepage and learn how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, that's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and you'll find it top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Still plenty of time on the clock if you're hearing the live broadcast at 3:15 Central Time. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a listener asks that we clarify the three judgments of the Bible and the order of their occurrence. First, the Bema Seat, then sheep and goats, and then the great white throne. And I know it's going to take you a while to wade through this.
Because I'm not, actually it won't, because I'm not going to wade through it.
Okay.
What are these judgments, first of all? The Bema Seat judgment is a judgment that saved people go through. When I die, for example, I go before the Bema Seat, and Jesus asks me, what have you done with me?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I believed in you, I trusted in you. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's about the end of it.
Yeah.
Now, there may be some stuff in my life that I did in my own strength, in my flesh, you know, good, bad, or otherwise. And he says, no, those things don't count. It's just, they'll burn up. They're just wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
Forget them. If I'm saved, or if I'm alive when Jesus returns, then the fact that I get a brand new body, this old body goes poof, gone, turns to ash. That's proof positive that I have apparently passed the Bema Seat judgment. Mm-hmm. And he says, come on in, welcome. There is no threat of any kind in the Bema Seat judgment,
right,
as far as I'm concerned. The sheep and goats and the great white throne are the same judgment, as far as I'm concerned. You can disagree with me if you like. This is the end time white throne. Jesus has already come. Satan has been defeated. And the Bible describes it as the dead were raised.
Mm-hmm.
The sea gave up the dead. Death and Hades gave up the dead. Well, who are the dead? These are the people who never came alive in Christ in the first place, mm-hmm. right? We're all born spiritually dead.
Right.
And so if I'm still spiritually dead and I get to the white throne judgment, that's still going to be the same question. Richard, what did you do with Jesus? And my only answer can be, I disbelieved him. There's nothing he had to say to me that I thought worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And God will say, okay, that's how you see it. We're done here. And you'll be thrown into the lake of fire, and eventually Satan and death and Hades and everything, and that'll be that. So that's the sheep and goats and the great white throne. Those are the judgments that have a threat to them. But the threat is countered by an offer of life. How easy is it right now at this moment today to say, Jesus, I have been wrong. How do I get saved? Can you save me?
Yeah.
And let him do what only he can do. Being saved is the easiest thing in the world. Being lost is hard because Jesus made it hard. Jesus did everything we need in order to be saved.
Yeah.
Just say yes, and then let him do what only he can do. He puts the Spirit in us. The Spirit works in us. God pours his own love into us. Let him do that.
Yeah.
It's really worth it. Trust me, it's worth it. You don't need to go through the great white throne judgment. You can if you'd like,
no.
But you don't have to.
That's right. Thank you, Richard, for clarifying that. This is Basic Gospel. Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. For those of you who tuned in yesterday, you probably heard that Bob Christopher was having a little issue with his voice, and so he's sitting out today, but I think he's listening, and we hope that he gets better. And hey, pray for me as well, because I'm pretty close to being right behind him. Let's go to Pontiac, Michigan, and talk with Gary. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesus is our Savior, and he said that if we want to be saved, we had to believe in him and to follow him. He also told us that we had to follow the apostles. And I find that there's many people that don't know the will of God, and they haven't read what the apostles wrote, Peter, James, John, and Jude, and they don't even know about them. And they declare the real church, who the real people of God are, who's really found the Lord according to the word of God. So there's a lot of, so isn't it true that if we believe in Jesus, and we believe that he's our Savior, we're also supposed to follow the apostles and do what they did in the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, and also there are other writings. Is that true?
Well, if you go back into John 15 and 16, you will see Jesus describe the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit for the apostles was for them to remember. The Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance the things that Jesus taught so that they could teach further, so that they could take that message to the rest of the world. And that's what they did. And so when you get Peter and James and John and Paul and Luke and all the rest, and they have been infused with the Holy Spirit is bringing to their remembrance the things of Christ. What did Jesus do? What did he accomplish? Etc. Then you've got a hand-in-glove situation where you're following Jesus and you're getting the inspired commentary, if you will, from the apostles about who Jesus was and what he accomplished and what living by grace through faith in this new covenant is all about. There are those who will say, well, only the words of Jesus matter. Well, that he wouldn't have given us the apostles if only the words of Jesus matter. And then there are those who say, well, Jesus taught everything we need to know. Well, no, he didn't, because as Paul tells us in Galatians, Jesus was born under law. He lived under law because he was Jewish. He came to redeem those who were under the law, and he ushered in a new covenant. And so now what we've got is a situation where both Jew and Gentile can become one in Christ, learning both from him and from the apostles who explain to us more and more what it means to live in this new covenant. And the whole thing is a beautiful whole. It's balanced. It's positive. It's not judgmental. It takes us forward, not backwards. And I would add to that the whole Old Testament. And once you've got Jesus and you understand the new covenant, then the Old Testament comes alive in ways that it never could before. And you see how all of those shadows and pictures that were painted, and the even in the law, you see, wow, this is Jesus. Only Jesus could do this. And Jesus did it. And so now the whole Bible is harmonious and fits together and points us to Jesus. So the goal is always to follow Jesus, but God uses the Holy Spirit to teach us the things of Jesus in the proper context. Thankfully, we got the apostles and all those letters to help us understand that stuff. But never forget, God's final word to us is Jesus. The old pointed to Jesus. Jesus came. The rest of the New Testament points us to Jesus in the way that he was successful. And then at the end of the Bible, Jesus comes as the ultimate King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we've got the whole thing together.
Absolutely.
That's how it works.
Yeah, Gary, thank you for your call. We appreciate hearing from you. Hope you'll call again. Friends, I want to remind you that the true gospel message you hear each day on this program, if it's making a difference for you, please remember that others also need to hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ, and your gift will help us reach them. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of our new CD audio series, Eternal Security, as our thanks to you for helping. We would love for you to partnership with us in this message of God's unconditional love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, basicgospel.net or the Basic Gospel app or PayPal are the best ways to donate. Remember that the listener line is always open. Any question you might have, that number, 844-322-2742. Call anytime. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.